Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Got to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
As the world continues to deal with the disruption of the COVID-19 pandemic, what's our assignment as believers? Lives are being lost, and many are living in fear because they don't know the Almighty God. The Word says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So what is the believer's responsibility? In today's message, Pastor Joel reminds us of our ultimate mission as he continues the teaching series, If Not You, Who?
Some days I get up, my left arm won't even go all the way up. Find myself turning my wheel with my right arm in the car. I don't think it's strange. The other day I got up, and I had to get up in levels. I got out the chair to get up. I don't mean to be gross, but I had to get up like this, and I had to get up like this. Thing like this. Then I'll start walking like this. Pastor Annalisa, now she knows she got faith like you won't believe. She said, "Joel, Pastor, don't walk like that." She said, "Because pretty soon, that's the way you might be walking. You might be looking like the, you know, like you stuck like that." I said, "God's got it. If I'm walking like this," I said, "because pretty soon I'll straighten up." And about half the day, I was straight. I don't worry about it. I can't worry about it. Because if I know and believe that he's in control, that I'm doing all I can do, I know he's going to do the rest. If that arm won't raise up all the way, and that one won't either, but this will raise up higher than the other one, and I'll praise him with that arm. Don't y'all think it bad. Don't think it's strange because your pastor got one arm up and one down. Mom, just as high as you all, I just can't get it up there. But you know what? The Lord can, spiritually. You see what I mean? And so we don't worry about things like that. He has a sense of humor. I can throw a good straight punch and all kinds of hooks and uppercuts. Just can't raise it up that way. But he said I wouldn't have to do that anymore, so I don't practice that like I used to. She said he'll have it straight for me in heaven. Amen. Amen. I'll be the one with arms stretched out with the big afro. Praise God. He said, look to the spirit. Don't look at what you see here. Okay. All right. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to concentrate on the things of the world. Can't afford to do that. Okay. So, as I was saying, we know that the devil, he's the one that is the little g god that we're talking about in the scriptures here. And he has much experience in leading people astray. Thousands of years, in fact. How long? None of us really know. Only God really knows, all right? But we know that his cunning, the devil's cunning and his dastardly work against mankind has been noted long before us, way back with Adam and Eve, right? But of course, that demonic being was around long before then. We know that too, right? Because he had to be put out of heaven, didn't he? All right? So we know that. Destruction and calamity, all the things that are in people's lives, the devil is at the root of it. Now, he does his dirt in many different types of ways. But for the sake of time, let's just go on and move to the book of Galatians, because Galatians pretty much sums it up, the works of the flesh. Let's go to Galatians 5, verses 19 and 21. Pastor, can you read that for us?
Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. Verse 19 first says, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Verse 21 says, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Now, what the reason I put this in here is that it points out that Jesus, what he's saying here, is that so often and regularly people tend to do what's we tend to commit these things. In other words, what he's saying here, these are through these sinful lusts, in other words, that we're held captive to sin. All right. And the devil knows this, and he's extremely good at keeping people walking in sin through these things and then more. All right. He's very good at keeping people walking in this thing and gratifying the lust of the flesh. All right. Most of the things we do is because of the lust of the flesh. And that way we become almost impervious to our ungodly behaviors. See, when you just become jealous hearted, you're jealous hearted. When you become covetous and you see what other people have and you start looking down on them or you want that thing or whatever it is, all these things that they talk about in Galatians, the envy, it leads to murder. A lady had her husband killed for $500. That's what she paid. She had him killed because she wanted some inheritance that he was going to have. She had married him for that. How do you do that? How do you live with someone for years and then set it up to get the insurance and that type of thing? But again, we become impervious to things like that. These are the things of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, and the devil is at the root of it. The point I'm trying to make is that we have to be careful because you become impervious to it. You don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know you got a problem. You know, it's like you've been running a fever and need to get to the doctor. You don't even know, you know, and that's because you've had it for so long. We need to be fixed, and we can't be fixed unless we get to Jesus. And that's what I'm trying to say, and the devil knows that. Look at what Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, 13, and 14. You all know this, but let's read that one, Pastor. Read that scripture for us, please.
Matthew 7, 13, and 14 tells us, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. See, Jesus is making a point that so often and regularly people tend to do what is acceptable, for instance, in society, and what's favorable in the sight of man instead of determining what's favorable and acceptable in the eyes of God. All right? And so we go that way. And so this text tells us that there are many going the wrong way because others are going that way. We tend to go, we want to be part of the in crowd. We want to do what's fashionable. We want to do what, we don't want to make any waves. And if it seems easy, then we'll go that way to achieve our goals. But I don't know if any of you have ever worked for anything worth having, you know that it wasn't easy. So why would we think taking the easy way out, which is going the way of the devil? See, at first, that's how the devil is very sly. He makes you think it's easy. You can do what you want to do, and then you're in trouble, you see? So like the word says, many wind up going the wrong way, and few find the right way or the narrow road. That's what Jesus is saying. And surely we all see that cycle that's repeated in society. People's lives being ruined over and over again. People with wealth, people with money. You can study people in Hollywood and see how miserable their lives are. Money couldn't save them. Money couldn't get them right. They're all on medication and psych meds, and they've all got problems. And the children and these reality shows sort of bring it out sometimes. They're shows, but really they're not shows, because if they weren't televised, then this is what's happening in a lot of people's lives. So with money, So that's one thing. We've got to sound the alarm. We've got to alert people the truth about the fact that there is a hell that exists. And all will go there who don't know Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter about your fame. It doesn't matter about how many good works you do. It doesn't matter. Somebody needs to tell somebody who's a Catholic that, listen, it takes more than good works, okay? That's not what it's about. You got to come through Jesus Christ, be accepted by Jesus Christ, and then walk in Jesus Christ to get where he wants us to be. Now, the Bible gives us stark warnings of truth. It gives us stark warning and truth with regard to the consequences of just sauntering through life apart from believing and accepting Jesus Christ. I was just looking at what it said in John 3:18. This is at the end of, Pastor, take us there, please. This is right at the end of John 3:16. So I know most of you probably know this. Read that one for us, Pastor.
John 3:18, this is Jesus also
Look
saying.
Look what he says.
He who believes in him is not condemned.
Mm-hmm.
But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
That's so important. So important for people. That's why we have to sound the alarm. I don't think people know this. I don't think they know to what degree their lives are being handed to them, and that it can end today. And where would you be? Where would they be? People that don't know the Lord, what would your family be? Look at what it says right here. Jesus said, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No two ways about it. You've got to believe in Jesus Christ. And how is that going to happen? That's about as straightforward as you can get, wouldn't you say? That sums it up right there. Anyone who does not believe in him, in Jesus, meaning the Son of God, is condemned. I don't know what else to say. You got so much talent, but you're condemned. Your mind, you're just a genius, but you're condemned. You got your resume in, you're about to get a good high-paying job, and you got that nice house, but guess what? Condemned. That's the importance of telling people. That's why this is not a cakewalk. That's why this is a serious undertaking, okay? Now just think of all the people you know, even the people in your families. I'm sure you all have somebody in your family who doesn't know the Lord or refuses to believe in him. I know there are many in my family. Y'all already know they won't let me in the house in Chicago. That's supposed to be my house. I wasn't home to get it when my parents died and really didn't want it. So somebody else took it over. Now they've got that and they move people in and they don't want to see us. So you got somebody in your family that needs to know the Lord. Have you told them about Jesus? Have you tried? Maybe, somewhat, a little bit. We've got to, saints. Because I'll tell you the truth, I wouldn't see what the Lord showed us in the vision. I wouldn't want anybody to go there. Not even my own worst enemy. I don't know if anybody, Hitler, I wouldn't want to see anybody burn forever. Flesh off your body. And your body being remanufactured and flesh off, flesh on, flesh off. To the bone, flesh on, and you feel every bit of it without rest. Torturous, burning for eternity. I wouldn't want to see anything like that to anybody. I would pray that they could repent. But you see, when we take our last breath, absent from the body, then comes the judgment, present with the Lord, right? That's what the word says. So these are the things that the Lord is saying. That's why he's telling us. We've been commissioned to tell the world about Jesus. And if not you, who's going to do it? God wants people who really believe. This is spirit of truth. We believe. We got to do the job. I can't speak for other churches, I can't speak for churches that may be playing church. I can't speak for churches who may have been sitting under a pastor who wasn't for real. I can't speak of churches where they believed, but they didn't. But they were going by tradition. It was really, you know, just a little game to them. You know, it was just a meeting time and say a few scriptures. You know, lay hands on and then go out and lay hands on some liquor, or drugs. Now, I ain't speaking of churches like that. See, but I'm talking about churches that are following the Word of God, living the Word of God, willing to die for the Word of God. Then you are the ones that God is calling. You are the ones that God is going to send out to the nations because they're watching you. They're watching us. And we got to live this thing. Are we perfect? Not by a long shot, but perfect in Christ Jesus, perfectly remade in Christ so that we can walk that road that he wants us to walk regardless of anything else. If I have to take a pay cut, if I have to move, if I have to go where the Lord says to go, if I have to suffer, then I'll suffer for the Lord because I know that he called me. Once you know he called you, how can you do some of it and not do all of it? That's why the Lord said, if not you, who? If not you, who? If not, who am I going to send? Some also ran? Somebody that doesn't really believe in it? If not you, who? He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Don't play games with me. He said, it'd be better if you didn't even know me. Sister Audrey was telling us that the other day. That's right. Better if you didn't even know this word than to get in it and say, now I can't use you. This is for us. This is for the church. This is for the church. This is what the Lord is saying. This is important. Because when it's all over, it's all over. I believe I'm going to have to come back to this next week, but I want to end with one thing here because I want to touch on some things if the Lord allows it. But there's one more thing I want to tell you about. There's a chapter in here that tells you the finality of things. Pastor, can you take us to Luke 16 and read as steady as you can to verse from 19 to 31 because we don't have a lot of time.
Luke 16, Luke 16, 19 to 31. 31. And again, this is Jesus still speaking, saying in Luke 19, mm-hmm. There was a certain rich man. Mm-hmm. Who was clothed in purple and fine linen and mm-hmm. fared sumptuously every day, every day. Mm-hmm. But there was a certain beggar named mm-hmm. Lazarus, mm-hmm. full of sores, mm-hmm. who was laid at his gate, mm-hmm. desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Mm-hmm. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Mm-hmm. So it was that the beggar died mm-hmm. and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Mm-hmm. The rich man also died and was buried. Mm-hmm. And being in torments and Hades, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham afar off uh-huh. and Lazarus in his bosom.
Yes.
Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me mm-hmm. and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and mm-hmm. cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Uh-huh. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things, mm-hmm. and likewise Lazarus, evil things.
Some people have received it all right here. But
good stuff.
According to the world standard.
Good stuff, according to the world mm-hmm. standard. Come on. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Mm-hmm. And besides all this between us mm-hmm. and you there is
a
great gulf fixed. Mm-hmm. And besides all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, mm-hmm. nor can those from there pass to us. Uh-huh. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.
What did he say?
Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.
Mm-hmm. Wait,
but he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.
Amen. Thank you. Very sobering. Mm-hmm. I had to have Pastor Annalisa read that entire parable for us because it, the meaning and the truth that's conveyed in the parable. Some of this we're going to get into, I pray, next week, God willing. But we've about to reach our time. But what I'm trying to say is it speaks of the importance of living a life in Christ, okay, committed to Jesus before you're committed to the grave. Huh? We want people to commit to Jesus before they're committed to the grave, because that's the end of it. After that, it's all over. Because after you're gone, there's no coming back. Don't believe people when they say, I saw Mama walking across the hallway. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The dead doesn't come back. I saw Cousin Leroy outside picking oranges. No, you didn't. He wasn't picking oranges. The devil will show you things, and spirits can manifest themselves, and they can make you see things. But the dead is dead, and that's what we have to understand. Because after you're gone, there's no coming back. Just as the rich man discovered in the parable, what we see is a parable here, and God allowing some things to happen through Abraham and different things like that. But don't think for a minute that now you can go out and start looking for your aunties and uncles who've gone before you. Dead is dead. Now, those who have passed before you, those who are still here, your wisdom, your knowledge, your everything that you have today, please don't take it with you. Pass it on. That's what the Lord is going to say. Tell someone about me before it's too late. You may be the only line left in your family before you give it to someone else. You may be the only boy, the only girl left who has a knowledge of the Lord, and the Lord wants you to pass it on to someone else. Amen. So let's keep that for a minute. In closing, let me say that there are many, 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 many who have chosen the broad way for their lives, choosing to attain the finer things in life. That's what the world puts us, the pleasures of life, the things of this world, putting our desires in ahead of God's desires, even at the expense of missing out when it comes to receiving salvation. We don't want to do that. Let me say that. I wouldn't wish hell on my own worst enemy, and I would not wish that on my own worst enemy, okay? Let alone random strangers whom we pass on the streets every day, okay? Or, as I said earlier, even our family members. What sense would it make for me to preach and speak a word and then not speak a word to my own family and leave them unsaved? That's what we all have to think about, because as you'll see next week, we're all ministers of God. We're all in the same boat. But the truth is that someone has to be willing and ready to tell them, to tell them all, to tell the world about Jesus. And if not you, who?
Amen. As believers, we have a responsibility to share the gospel, especially during these times of uncertainty concerning the coronavirus pandemic. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is for our lives and for all humanity. God is certainly capturing the attention of all mankind. And as followers of Christ, we need to be His mouthpiece. This is truly a season of awakening that will lead to revival. Can God count on you to spread the good news to those that need Him? Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide trusts the Lord to draw you, protect you, and keep you healthy and strong, even in the midst of this storm. Know that God is with us and will bring us through victoriously. If you're feeling alone or just need some encouragement, our prayer warriors are here and ready to pray with you. So call us at 707-759-5244. You're listening to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored in part by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We love hearing from our listeners. Connect with us on Facebook. Submit comments, prayer requests, and praise reports on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And if Pastor Joel's messages are ministering to you, let us know. Simply drop us a note at our contact page. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program. All financial donations are tax-deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button on our website to give today. As a friendly reminder, all on-site services have been canceled until the shelter-in-place order is lifted. Sunday worship services are available on Periscope at 1 p.m. and available on YouTube and on SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. We also invite you to join us for prayer at 7 p.m. and Bible study at 8 p.m. Wednesdays as we walk through the Bible together. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week as Pastor Joel continues the teaching series, If Not You, Then Who? Until next time.